Jesus anticipated their sadness and anxiety, and so he wanted to give peace to them, and our Lord Jesus gives us solutions for our own troubled hearts. He can speak peace to us, and I believe he does. And really, the solution for a troubled heart revolves around three things. Number one, we believe and know a person. We know Christ. And then number two, we have assurance of a place of heaven, because Jesus went on to talk about the Father's house, and he promised them that if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we have the prospect of going to heaven. I tell you, that's exciting enough. That's blessed enough. We have assurance of a place. We have assurance that we know a person. And then we receive the promises of God. Thomas said, well, how do we know where you're going? How do we know the way to heaven? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by me. So we could also say it this way. We have him. We have a home, and we have some hope. Amen. We can say that. And so Jesus wanted these disciples to understand that even though he was going away, he wasn't going to leave them. He would still be with them. God was still their Father. The Holy Spirit would still live in their hearts, and he would be the comforter that would even bring the very presence of Jesus to them. So you notice in verse 3, we spoke last week, when Jesus said, I'm preparing a place for you. Then he said, I will come again and receive you. Now let me say that I do believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a premillennial believer in the second coming of Christ. But I don't know that when Jesus said, I will come to you, in this context, that he's really talking about the second coming. I think he's talking about personally coming to receive his departed saints when they leave this world. I've seen paintings or pictures of a hospital room, and there's a dying saint, and Jesus is sitting on the bed right beside him. And, you know, that may be the case. Now, I know Jesus talked about in Luke 16 about how the angels carried Lazarus into paradise, into heaven. And so I don't know that there's a contradiction, but I'll say this. If Jesus shows up to take you home, maybe the angels are going to accompany him as you go all the way into heaven. So Jesus promised he would come to them in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will come to you. That's after his ascension. You know, he did. You remember on the day of Pentecost, and by the way, the New Testament church was in existence before the day of Pentecost. But Jesus came to empower that church and to fill them with the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter. And so the Holy Spirit, his ministry, is to make evident to us the very presence of Christ who lives in us. So he comes to take us to our heavenly home. What a wonderful thing. That because he lives, because Jesus Christ lives, I can face tomorrow, I can face today, and I can have the joy and peace as I face the prospects of a new year. And we're on the cusp of a new year. Well, first of all, we see God sent his Son. God sent his Son, and they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. And he lived and he died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove that my Savior lives. You see, I think one problem with Christmas, and I'm not going to preach against Christmas, That's not my purpose today. Whether you celebrate that or not, that's your business. I leave that up to you. But I think a lot of people make the mistake of they worship a baby in a manger. And that's kind of where they stop. Oh, the blessed baby Jesus. That's where they stop. But listen, the blessed baby Jesus grew into a perfect man who lived without sin. And the blessed Christ, born in Bethlehem, went to Calvary and gave his body and blood to save us from all of our sins. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove that my Savior lives. So they called him Jesus. He came to save us. Another hymn writer said it this way, that he left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. Oh, has it found you? The mercy and grace of God. And I tell you what God did. He sent his Son to this world. God himself took upon himself the nature of the condemned, but he was guiltless. He lived a guiltless life that enabled him to die on a cross as a substitutionary sacrifice. The Son of God left his Father's throne to come to this world. Notice in John 14, verse 16 is where we start, that Jesus said, I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter. Notice that, another comforter. That he may abide with you forever. He identifies that comforter in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. And notice the word Spirit there is capitalized. This is a divine title. The Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth. He only testifies to what is true because he testifies of the true Word of God. He's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, I believe in the Trinity. That word Trinity is not found in your Bible, but I believe the teaching is, the theology of it is, that God, there's one God, but he's revealed, he's manifested in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's a oneness in the very nature of who God is, but there is equally a separation of persons. And so both the Father and the Son, Jesus, they would send the Holy Spirit to the disciples and even to all of us. And so the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. The Greek word is parakletos, paraklete, which means one who comes to stand beside you, one to come to put his arm around you and walk with you. Beloved, that's God the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit's desire that he might glorify and manifest the person of the Christ to our hearts. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Now here in these verses, we find a striking contrast between those who are lost and those who are saved. We read here that the lost world, they don't receive the Holy Spirit. They don't receive Christ. They, as verse 17 says, they don't see him. They don't know him. But he contrasts that with a believer. A believer in Christ knows him. He knows him. and he dwells with us. And so here's a contrast between those who are saved, those who are believers, and those who are non-believers. Believers have Christ living in their hearts. But the world, the lost world, does not have Christ. They do not know Him. And so, all they have is Christmas. And the people live for that. They live for that. Shopping malls get full. The traffic on the roads, because people are scurrying around to spend money to buy things that people probably won't even use. How many ties have you ever taken back to the store? But that's all the world has. Now they may give some credence to say about the baby Jesus, and they may give some testimony, yes, and they may maybe shed a tear or two when they think about the Jesus in the manger, and a lot of churches will have, you know, big programs, and, well, as you realize, we didn't have much here. A wonderful song. Listen, the world doesn't have the Lord. But those who believe have it. And listen, we have so much more than what the world can give and what the world has. They called Him Jesus. He came to save us. And listen, He remains with us. That's what He said here, verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You know what that means? What He's saying is, I won't leave you as orphans. That's what that word comfortless is, like an orphan, where the parents have died, they don't have anybody. And Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you like that. I'm not going to leave you like orphans out here. I'm going to come to you. And He comes, and He promised to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He said, I will come to you. In fact, the Greek says, I do come to you. I do come to you. The Holy Spirit really brings the very presence of Jesus to us. And Christ lives in us who believe. And He does that through the person and power of the Holy Spirit. So even though the Savior would go to the cross and die, He would live again. He lives. Though absent in body, yet He would be present with His people through His Spirit. And you know, the Bible speaks about the Spirit of Christ, right? So though He was to go away, yet He would return again. He said, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to forever dwell with you. Now, not only is the Holy Spirit our comforter, not only is Christ our comforter, but there's something else. Did you know that Christ is also our advocate? Oh, yeah. Let me read this over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, as here, the Apostle John addresses the Hebrew believers. He said, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation, or that means He's the sacrifice, for our sins, and not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And the point I make is that He comforts us, but our Lord Jesus is also our advocate. You know, that's like an attorney, someone that represents you. And boy, don't we need that. Because we do fail. Okay, we do sin, don't we? But aren't you glad that even though you sin and even though you fail, that you have a divine attorney that stands next to you and advocates by God's grace for you. So He's our advocate. And, you know, the Bible says, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Friend, I have a Savior who prays for me before my Father in heaven. He intercedes for his children. But listen, there's something more. Did you know that this was also, when we talk about the presence of Christ, he said, I will come to you. Did you know that this was also a promise given to the Lord's churches? Oh, yeah. You know, Jesus gave a commission. Before he ascended, he took his church, which was probably about 120 people. Wasn't a big church. But he gave them a commission, and he said, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Get that? Hey, listen. There's something that a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ has that other churches don't have. And you know what that is? You may disagree, but I believe they have the presence of the Holy Spirit and they have the presence of Christ in that assembly. And I don't know that every assembly, I don't believe they have that. And that's a distinguishing feature of the Lord's church when Jesus said, I'm sending you out, but remember this, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age of time. Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I can face tomorrow. And I love the second lyric in the Gaitha song. It says, how sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy that he brings. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. He lives. We can face uncertain days because he lives. Can you imagine how Mary felt holding the baby Jesus? Looking into that pure, wonderful face of that baby. I tell you what, she knew exactly who he was. God already told her who this baby was. He wasn't just an ordinary baby. My friend, he is the virgin-born Son of God. And she knew that. And I tell you something else. She knew that that baby was her Savior. There are some religions that believe that Mary was immaculate. Mary was not immaculate. Mary, although a godly woman, a good woman, why, my friend, she was a sinner just like you and I. Why should you pray to a sinner? There's people that pray to Mary. They believe she's the co-redemptress. But no, Mary needed a redeemer just as much as I do, and just as much as you do. But can you imagine how she felt? Holding that and realizing that that baby in her arms was none other than God manifest in the flesh. And as the lyric says, this child can face uncertain days because Christ lives. I've heard a lot of people say about the times in which we live, and they look at little children or little babies and they said, man, I can't believe what they're going to have to go through living in these days. And I've heard some of them say, I'm so glad I'm an old person. I wouldn't want to go back and live in those days. Listen to me. We can live at any day.
at any time because Christ lives.
Doesn't matter what generation that is. He's been with His people throughout all generations. And I tell you what, I believe our children, especially our children that know the Lord, you know what? They're going to live and trust God just like we did when we were children. We face uncertain days. We can face life because we know Him, because we trust Him, because we believe in His Word. We can face the days no matter what happens. I keep getting these messages, Putin is going to start a nuclear war. Putin's going to launch missiles, hypersonic missiles, and we're all doomed. Putin's going to do exactly what God allows him to do, and nothing more. Not worried about that. But folks, because He lives, we can face uncertain days. And not only that, because He lives, we can face the unexpected. Not only the uncertainties of life, but we can expect the unexpected. I think about our ladies. Boy, we've got three or four of them been in the hospital. We had one pass away just a few weeks ago, passed on. And my goodness, you know, it was unexpected. We just didn't expect anything. But unexpected things often happen. I would expect to live to see tomorrow, but I tell you, I don't have any guarantee of that. And I live by my planner. I have a planner that I buy well ahead of time. I've already got my planner filled out for the next 2 or 3 months. And I write down months in advance. I'll write down where I'm going to travel, meetings that I need to preach in, conferences coming up. I even put down golf tournaments I'm going to play in, have that in advance. I even write down sermons that I'm going to preach a month from now. I mean, hey, listen, if you don't know where you're going, you're never going to get there, right? We make plans, but God can change them. And He can change our plans dramatically. I guarantee you He can do that. I never expected to go to Kentucky next week. I hadn't planned that. But the unexpected happened in the death of my stepdad. He died. And so I had to book this trip for me and my wife to go up and be with the family. But, you know, the Lord's in that. He knows what He's doing. And I'm going to preach to my family again. They need to hear the gospel. And I relish that opportunity every time that I can do that. Listen, I can face uncertain days because the Lord is with me. He's leading me along. I know that. And what did Jesus tell these disciples? Well, He said, verse 18, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you without any comfort. I will come to you. And then in verse 19, yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me. You see me now. Because I live, you shall live also. Notice that. Because He lives, we live. We shall live as long as He lives, and He's going to live forever. So as a believer in Christ, that means you're going to live forever because you're living your life in Him. We live the life that He lives. His life is our life, and His love is our love. And I tell you what, I love Him because He first loved me. I can face uncertain days. I can face the unexpected, but I can also face the uncomfortable. I can expect the comfort of God when I face what is uncomfortable. That's why the Holy Spirit here, Jesus called Him the Comforter. You say, well, what is comfort all of? Well, it's a state of ease, I guess, freedom from pain or constraint. It is a comfort, is a consolation in a time of trouble or worry. And all of us have our worries, and all of us have the troubles of, if you live long enough, you're going to face it. Is that right? You live long enough, you're going to face sickness. You're going to face disease. You're going to experience problems in your life. That's the nature of things. That's the way of all flesh. But listen, we have a consolation of the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We have the comforting Christ who lives in us. He's never going to leave us as orphans. He's not going to leave us alone. He won't leave us when the discomfort comes. That seems to be the time He helps us the most. I know we don't always feel that way. I mean, if you're laying there and they're going to open up your back and your neck and do surgery, boy, you're talking about uncomfortable. But as I assured Sharon the other day when I visited her, you know, you're a believer. The Lord's with you. He's not going to leave you. He knows what's going on. And He will comfort you. I can face the uncomfortable. But let me leave you here to say that because He lives, I will live forever. And so, He said in verse 19, because I live, you shall live also. And at that day, oh, when that day comes, you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. In other words, Jesus said, you don't know everything right now. None of us do. I tell you, I've been studying the Bible for 60 years. I've got Bible college degrees. I've got master's degrees. I've got doctorate degrees. I've got about every degree you can get, degrees in theology and so on. But I got to tell you that I don't know everything. And it seemed like the longer I go, the less I know. It's just scratching the surface, really, kind of. And that's not a big scratch, I mean, to be honest with you. There's a lot of things I don't know. There's a lot of things I can't explain as to why things happen and why things happen the way they do and why trouble. But I know this, that one day, hey, you know what? When we're with the Lord, we're going to understand who God is. You know, I don't understand the Trinity, but I hope one day I will. I think we might even get a visual of what that is one day when we're with the Lord. But as the song says, and then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's final war with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know that He lives. That's our prospect, Christians. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's coming for us. One day He's going to take us right to heaven when that final war is over, that final war with pain, and death will give way to victory. Now you know, and I know, the people that we love are going to leave us. They're going to pass on. And of course, you will too. Just a fact. But yet Christ will always be with us. He's our comforter in life and even in death. And I'll never be lonely again. Lonely days and lonely nights filled with despair caused me to long for someone to care. But I heard Christ say to me, ah, this promise I've made, Lo, I am with you now and forever. Be not afraid. You know what? Do you realize that as a believer in Christ, you have, right now, eternal life? Do you realize that? I think sometimes we don't comprehend that like we should. Every child of God, every Christian, right now, has eternal life. I have a good friend, and he said, I don't believe in once saved, always saved. Says, I don't believe that. He said, I believe you can lose your salvation if you don't live right or you do certain things. I said, let me show you something. John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That's a life that never ends. A life that never ends. Here's the most important question. Are you a believer? I mean, this could be the last Christmas that some of you are going to see. I probably think so. Are you a believer in Christ? Have you experienced Him? Has the Comforter come to live in you and dwell in you? Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she responded and said, Yes, Lord, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a believer? Jesus said a dead person can live again. And I guess you got to realize where you're at. You know, the Bible speaks in Ephesians 2 about those who God has quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. If you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, you're in the walking dead. You're dead. You say, Pastor, not so. I'm sitting here, I'm very much alive. I didn't say physically dead. I said you're spiritually dead. And that's why you need a new birth. That's why you need the Holy Spirit to do in your heart what you cannot do for yourself. Listen to me. You need something more than just a baby laying in a manger. You need the risen Savior who died for sinners and who lives now, and is able to receive all who will come to Him in repentance and faith. You need to come to Him and trust Him only as your Lord and Savior. Oh, my friend, if you're not a Christian, will you come to Him? Will you come to Christ even now and put your trust and faith in Him? You shall have life. You will live because He lives. We can face it. Face today, face tomorrow. Amen. Let's pray. Father,